WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Lopez for Liberty Report with your host, Claire Lopez. Claire has served as a member of the Citizens Commission on Benghazi and continues among the members of its successor organization, the Citizens Commission on National Security. She's formerly Vice President of the Intelligence Summit. She was a career operations officer with the Central Intelligence Agency, a professor at the Center for Counterintelligence and Security Studies, and Executive Director of the Iran Policy Committee from 2005 to 2006. She's also served as a consultant and intelligence analyst and researcher for a variety of defense firms. Already an advisor to EMP Act America, she has also been named a member of the Congressional Task Force on National and Homeland Security. Claire has been a visiting researcher and guest lecturer on counterterrorism, national defense, and international relations at Georgetown University. She's the author of the book, The Rise of the Iran Lobby, Sharia, the Threat to America, and The Secure Freedom Strategy, a Plan for Victory Over the Global Jihad. And now, here is your host, Claire Lopez.
Hello again. This is Claire Lopez, Lopez Liberty, LLC. I am going to present now segment 10 of our 12-part series on Hezbollah. We looked in the past segments at a lot of the operations that Hezbollah conducts around the world, in Latin America, and in segment 9, in collaboration with Mexican drug cartels. In this segment, I'm going to look at more specifically, some of the criminal operations that Hezbollah has been caught at inside the United States itself. So for this one, Hezbollah financing, so to speak, and in particular, operations inside the United States. Now, as we've talked about, Hezbollah definitely operates as a transnational criminal organization to raise money, primarily to raise money. Its finance unit that we discussed back in earlier segments, keeps track of all that finance, all of Hezbollah finances, does the auditing, the bookkeeping, the salaries, and so forth. One quote from a senior U.S. official is that Hezbollah operates like the Gambinos on steroids. They are highly sophisticated, highly organized. They are not unsophisticated. Don't think of these as maybe just your common neighborhood thugs. They're not. These are very often Hezbollah operatives, very often university educated, multilingual. They are able to move and blend easily across international borders, regions, cultures, and are very, very good at what they do, unfortunately. Now, their enterprises, Hezbollah business enterprises, span the globe. They allow Iran and Hezbollah to reach places all over the world. That is how far extended these networks are. What are they involved in? What kinds of criminality? Well, lots of things. Contraband, counterfeiting, banking and finance, bank robbery, land deals, real estate. We talked about the real estate on the southern border in our last segment, right? Money laundering, narcotics trafficking, weapons dealing. Matt Levitt of the Washington Institute wrote a seminal book, really a must-read book for those who want to know how Hezbollah operates a number of years ago, and he called it Hezbollah, the Global Footprint of Lebanon's Party of God. Remember, the name Hezbollah itself, and again, why I pronounce it Hezbollah, is because Hizb means party, Allah, God, party of God, right? Matt Levitt has done a lot of very excellent work. Check him out, not just this book, but at the Washington Institute, for a lot of the financial tracking, financial reporting on Hezbollah deals and operations around the world. And he talks about how Hezbollah is able to raise big-time money for the purchase of weapons, for its own terror training operations, recruiting, this, by the way, was quoted by Matt Levitt in his book from this DEA officer, Rusty Payne. Let's look at some of the plots that Hezbollah has been caught at inside the United States. Some of these do date back a ways. Here is the JFK airport plot going back to 2007. In that plot, luckily, four men were arrested in a plot to detonate the fuel tanks and the pipelines, the fuel pipelines at JFK Airport. Some of these nationalities are Western Hemisphere nationalities like Guyana and Venezuela. They were obviously and they were able to be tracked to their relationships with Iranian networks in Latin America. And again, as we talked about earlier, so long as we're talking about Latin American, South America connections, we mentioned in our last segment or the one before that, the involvement of Iran and of Hezbollah in the terror attacks of 1992 and 1994 in Buenos Aires. All right, here is Operation Titan. Now, this was a joint U.S.-Colombia drug trafficking, money laundering operation investigation going back to 2008. But there were many other countries involved, too, including Mexico, Panama, countries in Europe, and West Africa, too. Because remember how the trafficking goes sometimes eastward across the Mediterranean to West Africa for ultimate customers in Europe. Other product travels northward on up to customers in North America. here also, we have a connection from the FARC. Remember, that is the Colombian terror organization, which also deals in cocaine trafficking. And some of the proceeds learned through this Operation Titan went directly to Hezbollah financing and funding. Let's take a look at Operation Smokescreen. This operation dates back to 1998 until 2002. In other words, another multi-year investigation led by the FBI, but also involving law enforcement of other countries, including Canada and places in the United States, too. Charlotte, North Carolina being the hub of this particular operation. The FBI succeeded after the four-year op in dismantling this Hezbollah ring, again, headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina, but with links elsewhere. What they were doing, what Hezbollah was doing, was taking advantage of the difference in taxation rates on cartons of cigarettes among our different states here in the United States. So what they would do is smuggle cigarettes out of North Carolina to the state of Michigan, and thereby, because of the difference in the taxation rate, reap, well, as we know now, $8 million in profits over the course of this operation. Other things were involved, and here again, I think it's very useful and educational, illustrative, to look at all the other kinds of crime that always attend, are connected to the original operation, in this case, cigarette smuggling. So what else did you have? You had currency and financial services involved, training, false documentation, communications equipment, explosives, all of this sort of thing tied up in an operation that originally was based in cigarette smuggling right here in the United States. And again, look at that last point here on the slide, and that notes how one of the cell members in this cigarette smuggling operation had entered New York City, how? On a forged visa out of Venezuela. Remember, we talked in earlier segments about the documentation, the false identity, and the easy ways sometimes they were able to obtain passports, visas, and other documents. Now, in the smokescreen operation, as I was saying, there's so many other different kinds of criminal activity involved. This was a 77-count indictment when all was said and done. Look at this list of different kinds of crimes among those 77 counts, right? Interstate transport of stolen goods, immigration fraud, credit card fraud, fraud by wire, email fraud, conspiracy to provide material support to terrorism, and of course, racketeering. All of that combined in this Hezbollah operation to smuggle cigarettes. As the reports came out, the prosecution proceeded. It was learned that Hezbollah also operated through multiple commercial and business fronts for Operation Smokescreen. Unfortunately, one of the quotes from the officials in this case prosecuting it said that Hezbollah was able to manipulate our system, quote, with ease. They used gas stations purchased with a fraudulent loan. They used a restaurant as a front. They used two tobacco shops. They used a painting business. Look at the variety of businesses, which otherwise might have been thought legitimate, but in this case were used as fronts for a totally illicit Hezbollah money-making scheme. They were all used as fronts to disguise what Hezbollah was doing in the illicit business here. Visas were obtained with bribes. Sham marriages were used to obtain U.S. documentation, immigration status. Polygamy took place. And all in all, the Hezbollah operatives involved in this were trained terrorists, trained in weaponry and other terrorist functions and operations. Another operation that took place, or at least was busted up by December of 2011, was this used car operation that Hezbollah set up and was involved in. It was Florida-based, and it was a used car operation that was intended to raise money for Hezbollah operations, both here and overseas back in the Middle East. In the end, over 70 used car auto dealerships were involved. Also, that Canadian-Lebanese bank we talked about before, over the course of this operation, before it got busted, had laundered upwards, I guess they don't even know how much entirely, but upwards of $480 million in profits to Hezbollah. Another way that Hezbollah raises money is through zakat, or money jihad. We mentioned this in one of the earlier segments, but zakat is one of the five pillars of Islam. It is an obligatory annual tax on all Muslims and businesses that do business under Sharia compliant financing. It is obligatory. It is not generosity or charity, although some of the proceeds may indeed be used for terror, for charity. The collection, the obligation to pay zakat, is an obligation of the faith. And the problem here is that there are eight categories for distribution of zakat, and among them are widows, orphans, the destitute, but also at least one category specifically for jihad, and a couple of other other categories that could be used to further jihad objectives. Let's talk about how Hezbollah uses counterfeit pharmaceuticals to raise money. Back in 2010, Lebanese police actually uncovered a Hezbollah-Iran operation to manufacture fake ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, pills in Lebanon. Captagon was the trade name, the brand name of those pills, but they were contraband, they were fake. But millions of them, tons of them. I mean, they're little tiny pills, right? Tons of these. You can imagine how many million were distributed worldwide, but especially to fighters in various Middle East battlefields, because the effect of this drug, even as a counterfeit drug, was to keep you awake, hepped up, not feeling hunger, perhaps not feeling pain, and not feeling sleepy. That's why the fighters wanted them. The profit for Hezbollah, hundreds of millions of dollars. Illicit cigarette sales. They derive, at least in the past, have derived, again, huge income from the sale of illicit cigarettes. We talked about the shipment across the United States, avoiding state taxes, benefiting on the difference in state taxes from state to state. And here's the thing, getting caught, as I note here, involves penalties that are insignificant compared to the potential for profit, immense millions of dollars of profit. So they find it worth the risk to engage in this kind of money raising, fundraising, financing, if you will, as well. Scam industry, all kinds of scam industries. Now, across the United States, at least 20, 30 million in illicit scams every year. Now, that is not all Hezbollah, that's overall. But Hezbollah does get involved in such things as fraudulent grocery coupons for baby formula, credit card fraud, brand name clothing contraband trade. A lot of that, by the way, contraband clothing, purses, bags for ladies, and also electronics or CDs and so forth, music, comes out of the tri-border area of South America too. But Hezbollah deeply involved in all of that. And then, of course, in fencing stolen goods, in particular, today's high-tech equipment like cell phones, laptops, video game consoles, and so forth. All right, counterfeiting of money, of currency, bills themselves. This is another way that both Iran and Hezbollah make a lot of money. Because of their high-tech printing presses that Iran has acquired and shared with Hezbollah, they both, Iran and Hezbollah, are able to produce very high-quality counterfeit U.S. And other currency, for example, European Union currency bills. The printers located in Baalbek in Lebanon, that's in the Bekaa Valley, and a lot of the product that's gained, the profit from this counterfeiting, goes to finance Hezbollah terror operations across the world. Now, as we mentioned or referred to in a couple of previous segments, many Lebanese emigrated out of that country, especially during the 1975 to 90 period of the civil war in that country. And as we talked about, many of them emigrated to South America, but they've also emigrated to many other places like Western Africa. And what happens is that Hezbollah follows, is among them, but then strong arms businesses to remit, well, it's extortion is what it is, kickbacks to Hezbollah from the profits on those businesses. Money is sent by way of family and friends, but it goes to Hezbollah too, back in Lebanon. And as we've talked about, some of those Lebanese charities are in fact Hezbollah charities, social services and other things. All right, they extract, as I said, payments from business people located in many different places. There is a very large Lebanese diaspora population across West Africa. And one of the ways that we became aware of this extortion activity was that quite a ways back in December of 2003, unfortunately, a plane taking off from Cotonou, Benin in West Africa en route to Beirut crashed on takeoff. Unfortunately, for Hezbollah, they discovered within that crashed plane, there was bags of cash that had just been collected, extorted contributions from those Lebanese business people in West Africa, and the proceeds were on their way back to Lebanon. Here is Michael Braun, as I mentioned before, a retired senior DEA official, and again, he has spoken widely, both before open sessions of Congress as well as in media interviews and at think tanks and so forth. And he talks about that collaboration among the cartels, organized crime, and the Iranian Quds Force and Hezbollah. And he said here in this quote that collaboration is growing far faster than most policymakers in Washington, D.C. choose to admit. Now, hopefully, that is changing under the Trump administration now. here is Michael Braun again testifying in this case, reporting, talking to the Washington Times a number of years ago. And I'll focus your attention on the highlighted yellow part in the middle there, his quote, which Michael Braun said that Hezbollah relies on, quote, the same criminal weapon smugglers, document traffickers, and transportation experts as the drug cartels. Now, you might remember way back in one of our earliest segments, I showed to you a four-part diagram of the nexus among everything that Michael Braun here is just talking about. This Washington Times report comes from crack investigative journalist Sarah Carter back in 2009. But what he said in that report certainly holds true to this day, certainly even now, 2020. Hezbollah obviously involved in a lot of narco-trafficking, narco-terrorism, and that nexus again among those things. We talked about a lot of that, so I will go quickly through this slide. But again, let me make the note here that when sanctions especially bite down hard against the Iranian regime, as now under the Trump administration, typically what happens is that the regime is forced to cut back on some of the financial support previously it had given to its terror proxy organizations like Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is forced, okay, we'll put that in air quotes, forced to seek funding from other areas like narco-trafficking. So it would be expected that in a period of time of tough sanctions against Iran, one would expect to see an uptick in Hezbollah criminal operations across the board, but narco-trafficking in particular. And at certain times, narco-trafficking indeed has become the largest stream of financing for Hezbollah in times of, again, tough sanctions against its sponsor, state sponsor of terror, Iran. Now, there have been drug busts that show us the level and the extent of operations, not just here in the United States, but abroad. I'm just showing one such drug bust where they actually were trafficking through Lebanon itself a couple of years ago, but got caught there. Now, let's look at just a couple of other places around the world where Hezbollah does turn to financing by way of criminality and narco-trafficking. This year, involving Australia, just a year and a half or so ago, the Australian Federal Police published a report noting that Hezbollah was working with, this Australian report from a year and a half ago noted that its officials and police, federal police, were working with other international partners to prevent tons upon tons of illicit drugs from reaching Australia. And as that report noted, 15 tons of those discovered to have come from Lebanon, and that means Hezbollah. Unfortunately, to date, Australia is one of those countries that only recognizes the external security organization of Hezbollah as a terror threat. It's one of the countries, remember, that divides Hezbollah into parts, political wing, military wing. Perhaps more such investigations and interdictions, hopefully, of criminal activity and narco-trafficking like this will convince them to designate the entirety of Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, as well as a transnational criminal organization. Just more reports about operations. The Australian Task Force, in this particular slide, operating against Hezbollah operations, moving money, especially drug trafficking profits in and out of Australia, and in this particular case, this task force, Eligo, arrested and jailed, successfully interdicted some Hezbollah operations that was were multinational in this case. All right, I will leave this be for the moment, but I hope this segment, segment 10 of our 12-part series on Hezbollah, gives you an idea of the reach and the extent of Hezbollah operations that are both criminal and terror related, and to show to you how they are interconnected and how it is impossible really to draw any particular line between them and say this is just criminal, this is just terrorism. They are inevitably and repeatedly always in a pattern interrelated. The threat is worldwide, as we have seen, but also very specifically right here in the United States, as we saw in this particular segment, Operation Smokescreen, Operation Titan, and others. I thank you for watching. I'm Claire Lopez, Lopez Liberty LLC, at Twitter, at Claire M. Lopez, at Facebook, Claire Lopez. And if you would ever like to ask any follow-on questions or to reach me for speaking or other engagements, please write to claire@theunitedwest.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you very much.